The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. In those days, before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day that Noah entered the ark. They did not know until the flood came and carried them all away. So it will be also at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men out in a field, one taken, the other left. Two women grinding at the mill, one will be taken, the other left. Therefore, stay awake. You do not know on which day the Lord will come. But be sure of this: if the master of the house had known the hour of the night when the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake, not let his house be broken into. So too, you also must be prepared. For at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come." The Gospel of the Lord. Already again, the first Sunday of Advent. Just when the rest of the world is coming to the end of their calendar, the church is beginning hers. Just when the rest of the world is so busy with all that goes with bringing their calendar to a close, the church tells us to wait. Wait. He's coming. Advent means coming. Christ is coming. The Lord is coming. We know he is coming. He's coming so often in so many ways, but preeminently in this holy season, the church reminds us that he is coming, of course, in the Christmas feast, O holy night. Again this year, the whole world will somehow become a more solemn place, because truly, again this year, as in every Christmas since the first, he truly will come again and join our celebration. In the first weeks of Advent, the church concentrates on his second coming, when he will come in glory as King of all creation and call to himself his faithful from every corner of the world in rule and peace and justice, love and truth, until time is no more. But most of all, I suppose, the church wants us to realize that while we're waiting for his coming at Christmas and waiting for his coming at the end of time, we are waiting for his coming this day. Now, that's what we've come here for, because we believe that he will come now in the word and in the sacrament. Jesus, truly the Lord of lords and King of kings, the one we are awaiting in so many solemn ways, he will come and be truly present among us. I think as Roman Catholics, at least in the old days, we knew so truly that Jesus was present in the Eucharist that you didn't even need to preach about it. We were always on our knees adoring him present in the Eucharist. How really we knew body and soul truly present in the Eucharist. What we weren't concentrating on so much was how truly Jesus is present in the Scripture, truly present in the Scripture. Every once in a while, if we're faithful to the reading of the Scripture, a text that's very familiar, that we've gone over many, many, many times, once in a while has a ring to it. Say, wow, I never saw that before. I never knew that before. There's a light that's shining on that that makes me aware this is truly the Word of God. What I'm saying happened 1600 years ago when that passage that John read for us from St. Paul's letter to the Romans. A man at that time was sitting in his garden. He heard some voices, kids' voices. He thought at first they were playing a game, but he couldn't think of any game that sounded like tole lege, tole lege, tole lege. Pick it up and read it. Pick it up and read it. Pick it up and read it. And the scripture was there in front of him. He picked up the scripture, and it fell open to this passage that you just heard from Paul's letter to the Romans. Not in rioting, not in drunkenness, not in wanting, not in promiscuity or lust, not in rivalry or jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And stop making provision for the desires of the flesh. And that was the beginning of a new life for Augustine. And a new life for the church to this moment. There's not a week go by that we don't read something from Augustine. That we don't say some prayers from Augustine. There's not a university in the world that isn't preparing some thesis about. We're still studying Augustine. Surely when he picked up the scripture that day and read that passage, he found the scripture has the voice of God. He heard a voice beyond those pages. He heard a voice beyond what was written in black and white in the ink. He heard a voice beyond what he heard tole lege over the hill, over the. He heard Jesus. He heard what St. Paul heard when he fell off the horse. Paul, Paul, why do you persecute me? Augustine heard. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and stop making provision for your flesh and its concupiscence. Wise up. You don't know when the end is coming. The end of the world, we don't know when the end is coming. We don't know when our own end is coming. Stop making provision for the flesh and its concupiscence. In that first passage from Isaiah, the first 2 weeks of Advent, we read a lot from Isaiah because he had a vision of what we long for all the time, but especially during this Advent season. What are we longing for? Peace. Peace, peace, and there is no peace. Peace above all among the nations, because they make the big wars. Isaiah had a vision. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. One nation shall not raise its sword against another, nor shall they even train for war anymore. Oh, house of Jacob, come. Let us walk in the light of the Lord. We long for that in Advent. We pray for that in Advent. And even if it seems that we can't, it's a hopeless accomplishment. We can't. Nothing is impossible to God. And the way to that, of course, is what Augustine found in that second reading. If we can't make peace in the world, at least we can make peace in our hearts. We really and truly can drive the war out of our own hearts. We can give up the grudges. We can give up the battles. We can give up the sin in our own selves. Not maybe necessarily spontaneously and dramatically overnight, but little by little, we can purify our hearts. There's work to be done in all of us. And that's the way that eventually, the only way that peace is brought into the world. The instrument of peace is the human heart. And by purifying our hearts, we have hope of bringing peace into the world. The church on this first Sunday of Advent, And as I say, the whole world is so busy. Everybody's so excited about the parties and the celebrations of the time and the shopping and the cards and the... Shh, cool it. Nobody likes to wait. We hate to wait for the red lights. We hate to wait at the doctor's offices. We hate to wait in the supermarkets. We hate to wait. We hate so much to wait that the church takes us 4 weeks, the whole season of Advent, to say, wait. I'm going to teach you how to wait. That's all you got to do. That's what you're on earth for, to learn how to wait. And we take 1 month of the year to remind you that's what you're here for, to learn how to wait in certain joyful hope, for he is coming. That's the truth. At Christmas and at the end of time, and now in the Eucharist, just wait.